Good morning. My talk is going to be focused on the availability of low-nutrient, energy-dense snacks and beverages in Minnesota secondary schools and looking at statewide trends over a 10-year period from 2000, or I'm sorry, an 8-year period from 2002 to 2010. So as I'm sure everyone in the room knows, vending machines and school stores continue to be common food venues in the secondary school food environment. And low-nutrient, energy-dense food and beverages, such as sugar-sweetened beverages, high-fat salty snacks, and candy, remain common food vending and school store offerings. This is in spite of a growing and robust literature that says that low-nutrient, energy-dense food and beverage consumption is linked to weight gain and chronic conditions such as obesity and diabetes. As we've discussed, policy initiatives have become popular strategies to combat obesity and have been advanced by such well-renowned organizations as the Institute of Medicine. There are numerous voluntary initiatives going on, as well as state and federal legislation. And the particular legislation that we'd like to focus on for this talk is the 2004 Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act. I'm sure, again, most people in the room are familiar with that act. That's where it was mandated that all U.S. schools that participated in the free and reduced lunch program were required to develop and implement nutrition guidelines for all food and beverages offered in the school setting by the start of the 2006-2007 school year. So while we've had a lot of literature in the last several years looking at the link between policy and an improved secondary school food environment, as Susie mentioned, a limitation that we're all working with is that we've used a lot of cross-sectional methodology, so for at a point in time, we're able to make a descriptive evaluation. And the other component is we have been able to evaluate over a time period, but those time periods so far have been sort of short. So the advantage of the scope work that we're doing is we're able to assess the availability of vending machines in school stores and the availability of sugar-sweetened beverages, candy, high-fat salty snacks in the vending machines in school stores before and after the implementation of the Reauthorization Act in 2006. And with this 8-year period that we're dealing with from 2002 to 2010, we have this glimpse of 4 years before the act was implemented and 4 years after. So it's allowed us to also examine trends in availability over this 8-year period. So instead of this one descriptive analysis at one point in time, we can get a more complete picture that we haven't actually had the opportunity to do before. So for this particular study, we only used the Minnesota School Health Profiles Principal Survey. As it's been discussed, it's a self-administered survey overseen by the CDC. The data for this study, the questions were asked every other year from 2002 to 2010. As noted before, and importantly, it was a stratified random cross-sectional sample of schools. We had 170 middle schools in our sample and 392 high schools. And again, a good response rate for a self-administered survey, about 70% across schools, with 1 year in 2006, a slightly less response rate. The questions that we looked at from the Profiles Principal Survey, could students purchase snack foods or beverages from one or more vending machine at school or a school store, canteen, or snack bar? And if they answered yes, could students purchase the following snack foods or beverages? Sugar-sweetened beverages that were qualified as soda pop or soft drinks, sports drinks, or fruit drinks that were not 100% juice, any candy qualified as chocolate candy and or other kinds of candy, and salty snacks that were not low in fat. And the response for all these items were yes or no. As Susie mentioned, we have been able to link our school data to the National Center for Educational Statistics, so it's allowed us to have a knowledge of what our school demographics look like at a population level, which then enables us to control for these variables in our analysis. So we were able to look at percent minority enrollment, percent free and reduced lunch participation, school type stratified as high schools, and for high schools, they needed to, the lowest grade needed to be at least a sixth grade, and the highest grade needed to be above 10. So junior high schools were included in our high school sample because actually with our descriptive data, they looked much more like high schools than they did like middle schools. Middle schools were the low grade 6, high grade no more than 9. And finally, we looked at school location, and we made that a 3-category variable: city, suburb, and town and rural. For our analysis, and importantly, we stratified all of our analysis by school type. So we looked at middle and high school separately. We were able to, we used general estimating equation models to look at the association between each of the outcome and survey year. This type modeling allowed us to use a logit link for our binomial distribution, our yes-no responses, and it also allowed us to include, look at the independent correlation structure because we had some schools showing up more than once over the 8-year period, so we could control for that. We also used something called linear spline modeling, which allowed us to look at a linear slope estimation on the logit scale. So we could look at trend from 2002 to 2008. We could look at trend from 8 to 10, and we could also look and evaluate the change in trend. So if it went from a positive to a negative or a negative to a positive. And finally, just for the analytic part, we had no significant interactions between any of our demographic variables, so they were not included in any of our models. So the first thing I'd like to look at, and I think this is sort of the easiest thing to sort of grasp as far as the figures looking at our crude data. So you have the percent vending machine in school stores. I'm sure I guess that's your left upper hand, left upper left corner, over the 8-year period. As you can see, practically all in the dotted line are middle schools and the solid line is high schools. So vending machine in school stores, upper right, sugar sweetened beverages, lower left percent candy, and lower right percent salty snacks. So just the quick take, you can see the difference between high schools and middle schools for vending machine availability and also for the availability of sugar-sweetened beverages, candy, and salty snacks. High schools, as we mostly all know, as most of the literature has shown, tends to have more items than middle schools. You can see that there's a different decline in middle schools versus high schools. The other important thing that I think I wasn't really appreciative of, and I've certainly been doing this work since 2002. For vending machine availability and for sugar sweetened beverage availability, middle schools and high schools started in about the same spot in 2002. And basically in 2002, all the middle schools and high schools that were evaluated and participated in this survey offered sugar sweetened beverages and vending machines. So it's a really nice picture to be able to look at where we began across the state and sort of where we were as of 2010. You can also see that the declines are much more marked, much more markable in candy and salty snacks. And as I said, this little difference that we saw in 2008 versus 2010. Everybody was sort of doing a nice decline starting in 2002. High schools were a little slower at it than the middle schools. 2006 to 2008, the decline mostly continued, actually increased a little bit, especially in the middle schools. But in 2008, we saw this upward turn in high schools while the middle schools continued downward. So to speak to that as far as trend and whether it's a significant trend or not, this looked at the high school data. So availability of vending machines, sugar-sweetened beverage in the vending machines, high-fat salty snacks, and candy had a significant decline from 2002 to 2008. And then the trend significantly changed in 2008 from a negative declining trend to a positive upward trend. And we actually saw a significant increase in the availability of vending machines in high schools, as well as sugar-sweetened beverage offered in vending machines. When we looked at middle schools, we saw a different story. We saw basically a consistent and substantial decline in availability of the vending machine and the low nutrient energy dense food and beverages from 2002 all the way down to 2010, which was important. So finally, in conclusion, vending machines in school stores, as well as low nutrient energy dense food and beverages in vending machines in school stores, are still a concern and still common, and they are available in Minnesota secondary schools. We feel this study supports the link between nutrition policy and sustainable decline in some food practices, but not others, specifically candy and low-fat or high-fat salty snacks. There also, and very importantly, appears to be a differential effect favoring middle schools. If we had actually looked at the data not stratified, we would not have seen the same picture. So I would contend it's really important that we look at our middle schools separate from our secondary schools, or from our high schools. And finally, I think the story is policy setting is dynamic. I think those of us who work in policy, we know that. It's dynamic, and it requires ongoing surveillance to assess trends that can actually vary over time. We can't stop because it looks great today, because tomorrow it could change. So it's an area that we need to remain vigilant, and I think we're still learning quite a bit about how best to support our schools and our school food environment. Thank you.